seems like everybody got here, everybody's here, everybody sat down. No one's gonna have to fight this time. All right, so obviously I'm not Pastor Jim. I think everybody has heard about what's going on. His mother is sick with COVID, and so he is unfortunately not going to be here with us today. So I'm taking over for the Sunday school and not taking his place, and I could not possibly fill those shoes, but doing the leading of the worship service. So obviously his mother and Aaron and everybody is in our prayers. But today we're going to be going over, there was a handout, we're going to be going over the CREC statement on mandatory medical procedures, and also talking a little bit about the Warrington Declaration that was back there if anyone wants to read it. It's very extensive. I think was anybody here that didn't have the Warrington Declaration in Sunday school that we did? You weren't here for that, but you read it. Okay. All right, so we all have a baseline of that as well. All right, so before we get started, why don't we open? Father God, we do thank you for this day you've given us to come together as your body. Lord, we also at the same time do pray for those who can't be with us. We pray for Pastor Jim and for Marge. We pray for Aaron and for all those others that are struggling with sickness, with COVID, with whatever other ailments they have, whether known or unknown, that keep them from being with us today. Lord, we pray that you would give them strength to fight through this sickness, and that you would give us wisdom and strength about how best to both fight sickness and to fight government overreach, fight those things that embattle us on the other side. Lord, we do pray for, again, to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves in this world that you've given us to inhabit. And Lord, we thank you most of all for your Son, for his coming and living and dying for us, his rising again, that we might also have life and might rise again. And so on this, your Lord's Day, we pray that all of our thoughts and our intentions and our heart would be guided to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And as there are some of us that are coming together today, it's, I guess, appropriate that Pastor Jim gave us the hymn number 566 to sing, We Gather Together. Thank you. looks like, how long ago was this? 2 weeks? So 2 weeks ago, we had gone over the Warrenton Declaration. The Warrenton Declaration was, it wasn't any specific church authority or church groups declaration on medical mandates, on masks, on vaccinations, on anything like that. It was a group of people, mostly pastors, that signed it initially, but also some lay people. But a group from various different denominations that came together and made this declaration. When we had gone over it, we had seen that a lot of it seemed to be good. You know, that there was some that there was limitations on government overreach. That there were some things that were denied and were affirmed that should have been denied and affirmed. There was the church was, you know, prophesying against the culture, or prophesying against government overreach, if you want to say it that way. But that there were also some, you know, maybe things that some of us didn't agree with. There was some general language that maybe made things too broad. There was some kind of overstepping in the direction of complete individualism, as opposed to, you know, all, you know, we do have a responsibility to our neighbor as well. So there was some of that language that was lacking in there. At the same time that this was coming out, the CREC was making its own statement. It doesn't, at least to me, look like from the timeline that they knew about the Warrenton Declaration when they were coming together. From what they were saying, it seems like it was just two completely separate streams of thought. The CRECs is very, very much shorter than the Warrenton Declaration, so I gave it to you in full. It fits on one side of the page as opposed to, is this thing, like, 6 pages? So because of that, we can actually just read straight through it, and I'll do that for us. You do have it, but if you wanna follow along with me as I read it, it'll only take, you know, a minute or so. So, standing in the ancient Christian tradition, committed to the doctrinal standards of our local and denominational constitutions and the supremacy of the Holy Scriptures, the Communion of Reformed Evangelical Churches affirms our religion's principles of liberty of conscience, honoring and preserving human life from conception to natural death, as well as the sovereignty of individuals and families in medical and healthcare decision making. Therefore, we state our unequivocal support for the right of refusal of mandatory medical procedures, whether ordered by a branch of civil government, an employer, or any other institution to which an individual is subject or dependent, in the event that an individual sincerely believes his or her life, health, well-being, or morality is potentially threatened by such procedures or products, or in the event that a parent has the same concern for his or her child. We affirm that our Christian religion protects the liberty of individuals and families to refuse any medical procedure or product on the basis of sincerely held concerns for known or unknown side effects, experimental or emergency uses, potential involvement in fetal cell lines, whether in development or testing, or medical and/or political corruption or coercion. Therefore, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we defend the rights and responsibilities of our members to research these issues in consultation with their medical providers, in order to make responsible medical decisions for themselves, including refusing vaccination or gene therapies on religious grounds. And we hereby call upon all governments, schools, employers, and other institutions to respect these deeply held religious convictions by upholding this religious liberty and/or providing religious exemptions as requested. On behalf of the Communion of Reformed Evangelical Churches and all the signers. So pretty quick, pretty easy. I don't think I'll start with what I think of it. Why don't we have, does anybody have any just general thoughts or any responses to that statement? This is actually, I think we put it on our website. We might not have done that yet. Does anybody know if we put it on our website?
Haven't.
We have?
No.
No, not our website, like the CREC.
Oh.
Right. Has the CREC put it on the website yet?
I believe they did.
They did, okay. So we have put it on our website. It's not like we're breaking new ground with saying that this is now our statement. So does anybody have any comments, whether good or bad?
Will it carry any weight anywhere other than the fact that it makes us feel good?
So I didn't print it out, but there was, they also included like a religious exemption statement or religious exemption language, something that you can print
you
out.
Can put it out for yourself.
Right, put your name on and like give it to your employer. So whether that holds any weight, who knows. But they did actually print something out, so or include something that you could print out. As far as I know.
Has there been any ruling on religious exemptions by the government?
As far as I know, there has not been any rulings. Or no one's brought it. As far as I know, no one has denied it. You know, no government has denied a religious exemption. And so therefore, nobody has brought it to court yet. So it hasn't been challenged yet. You have something to say, Chuck?
I just want to say I'm grateful for the CREC to come forward with this statement. It's a reaffirmation of our right to submit or to refuse to submit based on our own moral conscience. I appreciate that. Everybody needs to make a decision for themselves. Informed consent, informed refusal.
Okay. Yeah, it is good that, again, that the church is speaking to the culture. It's good that. Yes.
I have a good friend of mine who works at St. Peter's Hospital for almost 35, 40 years. And as you know, the hospitals, OrbiMed, St. Peter's and others are mandating these
vaccines. Right.
And he contacted me earlier about writing him a character letter that we served in ministry together for years. And so the hospital letting employees, employers, letters of religious that they will take it, you know, against the vaccine. And I just got that was a while ago. I just got a confirmed from him the other day that they allowed him to not have the vaccine. He can still work. So for now, I guess that's what they're doing. I mean, some of these, the hospital and some of the bigger companies that are mandating this vaccine, they don't have a religious.
Yeah, I mean, that's like what you were saying or what you were asking. I think that most companies most states have been capitulating so far to religious exemptions, so there hasn't been a fight yet. I'm sure there will be,
yeah.
But there hasn't been one yet. All right, any other thoughts? Just briefly.
Is there any evidence, real evidence, of the here about fetal cell line, using fetal cell line?
So for the three vaccinations that are out right now, so the Moderna and the Pfizer both used fetal stem cell lines in just the proof of concept in the developmental stage. So they wanted to see if the mRNA could in fact be used by human cells in order to make the spike protein. Mm-hmm. So they did on petri dishes with fetal cell lines do that in order to see if the human cells could make the spike protein. After that, there was no use of fetal cell lines in any of the developmental process whatsoever for the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine. With the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, they use fetal cell lines in the actual production of the vaccination. So the way that they make the spike protein is that they basically encode it into the fetal cell lines, and then the fetal cell lines themselves are making the spike protein. And so the spike protein that is in the injection, in the actual shot of the Johnson & Johnson, was made by a fetal cell line. For the Moderna and the Pfizer, that's not the case. There's nothing in that injection that was actually made by, you know, by any fetal cell line.
Do these fetal cell lines, where are they extracted from? Are they from dead fetus or are they from? Where they get them?
Yeah, the one, I don't remember which one, I think it's the Moderna, was from a kidney cell of an aborted fetus from the Netherlands in 1973. The other ones, or no, the Moderna and the Pfizer were both from that same fetal cell line, so both from the kidney cell of the aborted fetus from 1973 in the Netherlands. The Johnson & Johnson has its own proprietary fetal cell line, and I don't think they haven't released as much information, or I just don't know it off the top of my head, but yeah, they were both from aborted fetuses, already aborted fetuses that they genetically somehow made the fetal cell line regenerate.
Well, they keep them growing and growing, is that how it works?
Yeah, so they keep it so that's why they use those cell lines, because they are just an indefinite replication. So there's nothing they're not going to die after they regenerate time and time and time again. For most of our cells, they have a shelf life to them. They regenerate whatever it is, 100 million times, and then they die. For these cell lines, they somehow genetically made it so that they don't, which is why companies like them, because then they can just keep replicating the same thing as long as there's no issues. They're not going to poop out on them. So my thoughts then on this statement is that there's a couple things that are a little bit, tactically a little weird in this statement. One is the thing that makes it good is that it's shorter, but it also means that whereas the Warrington Declaration has all of these biblical references and all of these the actual argument from the Bible, argument from Scripture, the CRC statement goes out of its way only in the third part to say religious over and over and over again, but it doesn't prove that it's a religious exemption. It just says we believe that people have liberty of conscience. Well, that's also something that secular Republicans and everyone else kind of believes too. So they don't really show how it is a specifically religious exemption. They just say that it is, which, sure. I guess that makes this document much, much shorter than the Warrington Declaration document. But in a court of law, I would think that it would also make it hold less weight because you haven't proved that it's specifically a religious exemption. So that's one tactical thing. The other thing is that I think that it's great that we're saying something, but to me, this suffers from a lot of the same kind of broad language as this one. And in some ways, it even has broader language. So it says that we state our unequivocal support for the right for refusal of any mandatory medical procedures. So, and not only that, but that whether ordered by a branch of civil government or an employer or any other institution. That's even broader language than the Warrington Declaration. So that might have some negative ramifications of again, using a specific instance to prove a general rule. Back when we talked about the Warrington Declaration, we talked about, who knows, if there is another, if there's a virus that's cooking in the Wuhan lab that gets leaked out again and it's even worse and it kills 90% of the people and it goes through the population. Well, at that point, there is at least in my view, there is a better case to be made for actually mandating people to get vaccinated to protect the other people. The way that I put it and is that you have a perfect right to personal liberty in medical matters until that starts affecting other people. Once it starts affecting other people, then the government does have some scope. In my view, that scope is limited to how much it's affecting other people. If you're not really affecting other people that much, then the government really doesn't have any say in what you should be doing with your body. So in my view, what's happening is that the CRDC and the Warrington people are taking, and they're just thinking about what's going on right now. They're thinking about COVID pandemic as it's happening currently, which I think they're right. In the COVID pandemic as it's happening currently, the government is overreaching and people should have the ability to refuse vaccinations, because everybody has been given the ability to get vaccinated. And so now it's a personal choice that anybody that's unvaccinated right now, it was their choice to be unvaccinated. It's not, you know, it's not that we haven't had the supply like in some other countries. It's none of that. It's a now a personal choice for everybody. It's also, if you do get vaccinated and you still get COVID, it's a cold. It's, you know, not many people are dying. Scatteringly few people are dying that are vaccinated or even hospitalized that are vaccinated with COVID. So if you want to protect yourself, you can protect yourself. Therefore, you know, right now in this part of the in this part of the world and in this part of the pandemic, I think that the government's reach in your personal decision should be minimal. That doesn't mean that all governments in all parts of the world, for all the pandemics, for all the rest of time, have no say in anybody's personal decisions. That's at least my thoughts. Does anybody have thoughts about that? Yes, Chuck.
First of all, Warrington is good if you want to concentrate on the legalistic. Having all the references and everything, that's great. I like this because this is basically embodies the KISS principle, keep it simple, students.
Yeah.
All right. As far as mandates and things like that, part of my issue with it is the hypocrisy of government. For instance, right now, this White House doesn't make it mandatory for people in the White House to have the inoculation. However, they are forcing everyone in the military to take it. Once that goes in your arm, they can't take it out. And there's all kinds of research that gets downplayed about the spike protein causing clotting. You know, I mean, there are thousands of deaths attributed to the COVID, especially and usually in the presence of comorbidities. What I really object to is the censoring of that information for the general public. I mean, I've been putting a lot of information out for people, and suddenly I'm not putting it out. There's a reason for that here. I think people should have the information at hand and be able to decide for themselves. Basically, there's a lot of information that's being ignored, being suppressed. Yeah. And I think that's a crime. But that's just me.
I agree that, you know, people should be able to make their own decisions. Again, to the extent that your decision doesn't impact somebody else.
Agreed.
So right now, in this part of the country, or in this part of the world, in this part of the pandemic, I think there's not much that the government should be doing. They're kind of done. The pandemic should be over for them. It's not, obviously. They're still trying, but it should be over for them right now. But again, my worry is that the next wave that comes, or the next pandemic that comes, let's say it's unrelated to COVID. Let's say it's the plague or something that comes back. Now we've already been like divided into these camps of like, you know, you can't do anything to me, you can't make me choose anything, or this camp of we can make you do everything that we want you to, and you know, you're completely our subject. And so now that we're already divided like that, there's no middle ground to talk about, well, how much is reasonable in this particular situation. That's kind of my worry about that. The other thing is that some of the language here, okay, so Some of it's even like, okay, so in the third paragraph, we affirm that our Christian religion protects the liberty of individuals and families to refuse any medical procedure or product on the basis of sincerely held concerns for known or unknown side effects, experimental or emergency uses, potential involvement in, first of all, this sentence is way too complicated and doesn't flow very well, so that's just a grammatical thing that they should change. But anyways, the part of refuse any medical procedure for unknown side effects, like, you're never, how are you gonna know what's not known? What I worry about is that you can take that, I know what they're going for. I know what they want to say, but it's not what they're saying. So the example that I've used for some people when I've talked about this is there are sincerely held beliefs by vegans that killing animals for any reason is bad and that you shouldn't have meat or meat products of any particular kind. Those very sincerely held beliefs also make them want to have their infants be vegan, which is really, really bad for infants. Infants need, they need to not be vegan. And one of the reasons they need to not be vegan is because of vitamin B12. So vitamin B12 is necessary for human existence. It's something that's a substance that we don't make on our own that is needed for life. If you don't have vitamin B12, you die. Vitamin B12 is not made by any plant. It is not made by any plant in any part of the world. It's only made by animals and bacteria sometimes, but it's only made by animals. When you try to make a kid vegan, one of the things that all the nutritional supplement companies, or all the formula companies do is they put B12 into the soy-based formulas. Well, what if you have a parent that doesn't like the companies because of whatever reasons, whatever sincerely held belief? So they try to make their own soy-based formula, and they also don't want to give their kid an injection of B12 because of a sincerely held belief in the poor nature of vitamin supplement companies or whatever it is. Those are sincerely held beliefs, but they're still going to kill their kid. Isn't that one reason that the government should be able to step in for a medical procedure that a parent doesn't want to do because of sincerely held beliefs? Again, this is kind of a tricky situation here. So the broad language, I think, is troubling in some certain circumstances. That's at least my view. What I would like to have done with either of these two is to do something like, in the first part, we say that humans, that individuals have complete responsibility or have a total sovereignty of their own medical decisions to the extent that they don't impact other people. Point two, to the impact that they other people, only to that extent does the government have a way to mandate or to impact the person's personal sovereignty. Point three, because of all these reasons for this current COVID pandemic, because everyone's been vaccinated, because you can get vaccinated if you want to, because it doesn't really impact people that are already vaccinated, therefore a person's personal decision to not get vaccinated does not substantially impact another person. Point four, therefore the government can't mandate that you get the vaccine. That's what I would like either of these to say. They don't. So we're kind of stuck with what they have, but that's at least, I wanted to bring to attention what the CREC had put out, because we are a CREC congregation, so if you want, you are protected by this, possibly, we don't really know legally, but you can be trying to be protected by this at least. Does anybody have other thoughts?
I read the origin,
mm-hmm.
and when I read it, and I looked for its least common denominator, it seemed to me that basically it was saying that the government has no rule over me if I'm a Christian. And I don't think that's true. I think God created governments to have rule. And so just to say I'm a Christian so you can't rule me, that I don't believe is right. I don't think that's Christian. So the Warrington bothered me from that perspective. Now maybe I'm reading more into it than I should, but that's what I read into it. This one, to me, is so general. I don't know that it means much. I could take it to court, and I could take it to my employer, and I could say, I don't want to be vaccinated, and here's my reason why.
Right.
And I'm not sure this does enough.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this. When the church first stood against abortion, I had friends of mine who were good Christians, and they went to abortion clinics and they protested on the grounds that they were Christian and killing babies in their eyes is what was happening, and that was wrong. And they were arrested. That's what happened to them. And when they were released, they went right back out and protested again. And some of them were re-arrested. But they were putting their life into what they believed. They said, this is what I believe, and so I'm not going to stop. And it they bore the consequences. So if you don't want to get vaccinated, and your company or your whatever says you need to be, and you're a Christian, and you think you don't want to be vaccinated because you're a Christian, well, the consequences may fall on you, and you may have to accept them. If that's your Christian held belief, that they do not have the right to tell you this, well, you might get fired, you might lose your job. But if you really hold that as a belief, well, that's what you should do. The last thing I'll say is, when we talk about the fact that here in this country, we are not yet being mandated to get the vaccine. You can or you don't have to. That's fine. If you're a Christian and you're saying, I don't want to get the vaccine, and I'm not bothering anybody by not getting the vaccine, I'm not sure that that statement holds enough water. Because if you happen to be in Louisiana right now, or in some other place where the coronavirus seems to be really doing a lot of damage and filling up hospital beds and taking resources away, well then when you get in a car accident, you're in trouble now because the hospital's, all its resources have been used for other things. There was a story about a fellow that was shot and he couldn't have surgery for 7 days because the hospital was, all its resources were being given to helping people with the coronavirus. So these are tricky things. They're not as simple and uncomplicated as we wish they were. But we live in the United States. We have the right to refuse. You can send letters to your government officials and say, I don't agree with mandates. And I want you to know that. I don't know if anyone's done it. I certainly haven't, but we could. I don't know that any government official in the United States is ever going to read this unless I send it to them. So, you know, we talk a lot about what we think and what we don't think, but I don't know that we do much about it. And that kind of worries me from a Christian standpoint, because as with abortions, most Christians don't really oppose it anymore. There are not many Christians out on the front lines at abortion clinics saying, don't do this. It's just kind of become normal, and we've accepted it. just like we've accepted every other kind of sin previously, because we refuse to stand up and say, this is what God says, and bear the consequences, which is what our forefathers in the first centuries after Christ did and died. So, lots of words. I'm not sure that I think any of them are all that important.
I think for, if the CREC does believe this, if they believe that it's their religion that's at the foundation of this statement, I think it would be helpful for people that want to, you know, follow Christianity, follow Christ, follow the principles of the Bible. It would be helpful to actually have a coherent argument of, you know, biblically why this is that we're saying all these things. Because, yeah, I mean, people aren't going to go to Warrington. They're not going to go to, you know, anything that puts out a coherent, logical, biblical case, you know, against, you know, vaccine mandates or against anything. Yeah, so to be in a situation like you're talking about, where your employer says, you have to be vaccinated. Well, I think that's my religion. I think my religion might be against the mandate, but I don't really know. And then you have a personal conscience issue because, you know, you don't want the vaccine, but you don't know if it's based on your political views or your religious views, and you're telling them that it's your religious views, but you don't know if it is because no one's actually giving you a logical biblical argument for it. So I do think that's a problem with a statement like this that you're saying is vague and, you know, kind of just generic, and then uses the word religious a bunch of times to try to give it the muster of a religious document without actually doing anything religious. Again, my two cents. Anybody else? Yes.
Clarify something for me. The Pfizer and the Moderna do not use the cell line, the fetal cell line.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the Pfizer and the Moderna use the fetal cell line just in the proof of concept and the developmental step.
That was in the beginning.
So at the very beginning, before they manufactured anything, they wanted to make sure that human cells could produce the spike protein with, you know, with the mRNA. And so they just fed it to a fetal cell line. It produced the spike protein, so they said, great, proof of concept, now we need to go forward.
So Johnson & Johnson does use it.
Johnson & Johnson, in their very developmental process, uses it. So the actual spike proteins, because the Johnson & Johnson isn't an mRNA vaccine. It's an actual, like, they put the spike protein in the shot. That spike protein that they put in the shot was made by a cell that's in the fetal cell line. It was made by the fetal cell.
So they're using the aborted cells.
Yes, and yes. The Johnson & Johnson one is much more morally problematic than the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccine.
Terry, you probably know more about this than any of us do. What was the, when you go to public school or take kids to public school, you got to present their vaccinations, the history. Do you know the history of how that came about, where you have to do that, or else the public schools won't let you in?
I don't know how old that is. I know that, was it like the polio vaccine was in the 50s?
I know, I remember we changed schools a lot when I was growing up because we moved a lot. So I remember my mother always had to come in with all our paperwork, and, you know, this was back when I was in first and second grade, so that was quite a while ago. So I just wonder, did we just naturally fall into that and everybody accepted it, like the frog in the water?
Polio was kind of like a seminal moment. So
right,
I think that one might have been when it was first, like, mandated.
Okay.
It might have been. I do know that, you know, measles was running rampant in the society, and so that was probably the second one that was mandated. And then all the rest were like, I don't know.
Okay. Well, it's been around for a long time, it seems. or not that much objection to that in public school. You got the option to go to a private school, they don't care, or homeschool, but.
Yeah. And we're speaking to that, the MMR vaccine has some of the same fetal cell line problems as the COVID vaccine does. So mandating the measles, mumps, and rubella shot kind of has the same effect. Chuck?
To clarify that a lot of people probably still aren't aware that these COVID vaccines are not true vaccines in the traditional sense or the biological sense. The previous ones, like for smallpox and all those other things, they're vaccines that prevent you from getting it, prevent you from transmitting it. The COVID vaccine doesn't either of those. It only supposedly lessens the effects on the person that has the shot.
So that's not entirely accurate.
Other issues.
So the vaccine, what a vaccine is, it just means that you give somebody something that you want them to be able to fight later.
Right, it's a weakened state of that disease.
Right.
Right. So. That's not how this one operates. That's why it's not a fully authorized, if you will, or licensed or whatever they call it, vaccine. It's emergency.
It is under the emergency authorization, but it's factually inaccurate to say that's because of the way that it works. It's under emergency, I don't know why it's under emergency anyway, because we've had 160 million people with the vaccine, so what more of a big test do you want out of it? But in any case, from that, the would you consider the flu vaccine an actual vaccine? Because, okay, because the flu vaccine doesn't always get rid of your flu.
We haven't seen any flu apparently in the last year and a half.
Correct.
That's interesting.
But just because it doesn't work 100% doesn't mean it's not a vaccine. But yes, Rita.
I'm wondering if they were covering that by using the term gene therapies.
Yeah, I mean, I think that probably some people thought that was needed in order to make sure that the government didn't say, oh, well, this one isn't really a vaccine, this is a gene therapy. But yes, that's probably why they put that there. But they had already covered that above when they said like any mandatory medical procedure, and they had all kinds of generic wording above that too. So I guess they thought they needed it. Again, something they could have tightened up if they had given more thought to it, or if they had more time probably. I think that there's a real time crunch on this too. They wanted to get it out really quickly, and it's a committee, so committee speak usually does them better. All right, so that, unless anyone has any final parting thoughts, that's probably the last thing that we're gonna get today. All right, so let me pray. Father God, we do thank you for the gift of health, for the gift of our personal liberty, and for the gift of the ability to come together and try to figure out how best to use that liberty for ourselves and more importantly for your kingdom and your glory. Lord, we do pray that you would guide us in all wisdom to know how best we can use the time that you've given us. Lord, we pray that you would keep us from decisions that would hurt our own conscience, and that you wouldn't give us more than we could handle in both the COVID pandemic and in all things. Lord, we pray that you would guide us in these matters and in everything for your glory this week and always.